Mini episode 178 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, FDH Lounge Mini, episode number 178, part two of our AFC preview for the 2012 football season here. We are going with the AFC North and the team that plays in the hometown of the FDH Lounge. My favorite team, the Cleveland Browns, is the one that we need to spend probably the least amount of time on.
I agree with that. Let's go in reverse order here. Going to the East, we went top to bottom. Mainly because I think the pecking order was pretty similar to what I think most of the listeners are going to have here.
Sure.
But I think in the case of the North, a division which, by the way, I believe every team will regress from last season. This was a division that put three teams in the playoffs.
Okay.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. We start with the team that did not, Cleveland.
Okay.
And as tough as it is to say, I think the Browns regress again this year. Ricky, let me tell you something. This team is not just an embarrassment to the NFL, but an embarrassment to society, in my opinion. And I know you accuse me of trolling on Facebook some of the dog pound types, okay? But look, the bottom line is this. The NFL has done very limited expansions since 1976.
Yeah.
Since that time, I think there's eight teams that have come into the league, if you include the Browns, 99 to the present, as a whole separate franchise.
Okay.
Only the Buccaneers, 76 to 88, have had a worse first 13 years than the Browns have since coming back into the league. This is a team that has averaged only 5 wins per year. That is what Vegas projects them at this year, 5, and I'll go a little under that. I see this as a 3 or 4 win team. Last year, it's interesting, and I cursed myself when I did it then. I said, this is only because I'm living in Cleveland. There's a lot of positive noise surrounding this team. People talk about the schedule, how they're playing the NFC West. Oh, they'll take advantage. Oh, there's going to be this great start. Well, that never happened.
I bought the hype. I said 7 wins.
I did, too. I had them at 7 wins, too. Interestingly, it was the other Ohio team in the division, Cincinnati, that kind of took advantage, and we'll get to them momentarily, that took advantage of that weak schedule and not only made a run at the postseason, but actually got there.
Well, having said that, I mean, this is a thing where instability between regimes has set this thing back. The Browns have been the poster child here, with petulant weenies like Eric Mangini. I can't win with this! And you come in and you strip down the roster to the ground. Let me tell you something. I could be up in that University of Texas bell tower if I see this new coach, whoever it is next year in 2013, coming in and saying Trent Richardson doesn't fit into his offense. Because that's the kind of inmates running the asylum crap that is helping to decimate this franchise. All right, Jimmy Haslam's going to bring in new people. They're going to do it a new way. But this whole guilty until proven innocent thing, if they're inheriting you, is a horrific trend, and it's got to go.
Look no further than the Browns' main rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
The most stable organization of the modern era.
Yeah.
Only two coaches since 1989. The Browns have had about 1,800 at this point, obviously rounding up. But you get the point.
Yeah.
It's that whole vicious cycle, new ownership, and you have a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back. The defense is good. Obviously they gave a lot of rushing yards per game last year, but that's more of a product of them always losing and being behind. And so the team that they were playing was just looking to run out the clock with a lead.
Dick Geron really is a get-the-most-out-of-what-you-got kind of a coordinator, though. He's really good. He'll maximize what they have. What they have ain't much.
Yeah, and then, the receiver position, arguably as bad as any team in the league.
Their top two guys are still developmental guys at this stage.
And that's just bad. This is a passing league, and when you look at the worst teams, there's three teams that I think are contenders for worst team in the league. They all are similar in that they're looking to build their offense around a running back in a league that's a passing league. Jacksonville and Minnesota are the other two teams that I think, along with the Browns, are clearly the three worst to me.
Yeah. I really wanted them to take Justin Blackmon in the draft for that reason and to stay with Colt McCoy. But I'm going to say 3-13. I think they're going to have the worst record in the league and be the worst team in the league.
Which makes the Whedon pick bad, because Matt, I know you probably don't like Matt Barkley. They don't play football the right way out in the Pac-12.
No, I love Matt Barkley.
Oh, okay, you do. I know. What a pleasant surprise on this podcast.
I think he would be a tremendous first-round pick for them next year. It's interesting. I know I referenced this before.
Well, they can't do that now.
Well,
if they
wouldn't
they
dare.
Can't.
They were in consecutive years. Well,
in 3 or 4 years with McCoy, you want to go back to.
Well, he was a third round pick.
Yeah, but still, it's a quarter. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
You know, Andy Dalton was a second round pick. He's working.
You know, looking at the NFL draft last year, we were doing our NFL draft recap with two other original FDH Lounge dignitaries, Jason Jones and Chris Galloway. We were talking about this, that the Eagles, what a steal they got in the draft by taking Chris Polk. He had that degenerative shoulder condition, whereupon Chris Galloway bursts in with one of the best lines in the FDH Lounge in 2012. He says, yes, but our Cleveland Browns took a quarterback with a degenerative condition in the first round. He's old.
Yeah. Now, granted, the prognosis on Brandon Whedon, for a variety of reasons, is not
grim.
It's not shades of Andrew Luck, but does he give you a better chance to win than Colt McCoy? Was not good. I think he did deserve another year, but he's not good. There was, I think, like 6 instances last year of him tripping over his own player. I mean, this is not. He's still short.
I'm still agnostic on whether he could be a winning quarterback. I don't think we got to see that because the surrounding cast was so horrible.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Whedon, to me,
this coach doesn't seem very good either. Pat Shurmur, he seems clueless.
People laugh when I say this. I really thought he was going to be a good one. I really did. And people don't understand that. But and in retrospect, maybe I don't. But I really liked what I saw of him. I'm a Bloodlines guy too. I'm a Bloodlines guy in sports. And Uncle Fritz was a Hall of Fame caliber defensive coordinator. So.
Oh, true.
You know, that's one of those things. But, you know, Brandon Whedon, to me, is a slightly affluent man's Derek Anderson.
Okay, I'll go with that. Now, I liked him in college. It was kind of a gimmicky system he played down there in Stillwater for Oklahoma State. Now,
not exactly the West Coast offense.
You know who's got to go, by the way?
Who?
In the Browns. This might shock you.
Who?
Mike Holmgren. I think whatever they pay him, it's too much.
Done and done, Kyle. Haven't you been paying attention?
Okay, well, here's the thing. To me, I'm not there. I have no inside information whatsoever. I just envision Mike Holmgren as showing up every once in a while, flashing his Super Bowl ring, and people are like, yeah, Mike, you're so smart. And him not really offering anything tangible for the organization. You know what I'm saying?
Other than busting into Cuckoo Cuckoo while I'm the Walrus?
Yeah, I mean, I just think whatever they're paying him is too much.
It is. So the Browns are out of the way there. I have as a third place team in the division at 8-8, the Cincinnati Bengals regressing somewhat from last year. They were in some ways, I think, not to be a Bitterman Browns fan, but in some ways a product of the schedule, and the schedule done get a lot tougher this year.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, we failed to mention with the Browns, and it's obviously the case.
That's how bad they were. They couldn't take advantage of the schedule.
Yeah, and it's the case with every NFC North team, or AFC North team, pardon my French, that they go from drawing the NFC West, which is widely considered to be the weakest division in all of the league, to going to the NFC East, which is, you know, I'm sure that you're going to have some sort of anti-ESPN dig about how it's overrated. It might be, but it's a much stronger division than the West.
Yeah,
certainly,
sure.
I think we're all in agreement there. Thank you, kumbaya.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with the Bengals. I talked about how I think every team in this division regresses.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned in the AFC East portion of the program that, actually I didn't, so let me mention it now.
Okay.
I didn't mention this at all. Since 1990, when they reformatted the playoffs to the current format, 6 teams in each conference, 2 byes, 2 wild card games, there has never been less than 4 repeat teams, playoff teams from year to year, never more than 8, and the average breaks out to about 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things I do when kind of making my playoff picks is let's take a look at the 12 playoff teams from last year. Who do I just want to pull out? Who can I think? And the Bengals just have that feel, much like they did 2 years ago. Remember, they regressed all the way down to 4-12 2 seasons ago, of a team that just overachieved last year.
Yeah.
I don't believe they beat a team with a winning record. I'm going to double-check that.
They did have a really, really good draft, though. Maybe the best draft of a team that wasn't picking high. Having said that, that's more the kind of effect that can help you cumulatively in the next couple of years as opposed to this year.
I really like Cincinnati, I think, next year. I think I do.
When these guys got another year on.
But, you know, look, this is a team that won the division a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They've been real up and down, up and down. You know, last year going into the year, everyone – here's what's interesting about the Bengals. Everyone was very – I always get bull and bear market, those terms confused. But people didn't like the Bengals going into last
bearish.
Year.
Bearish. They were bearish on them.
All right, and they wound up exceeding expectations. This year I see people being the other way where, oh, yeah, the Bengals, they've got to go in the right direction. And I don't see them meeting those expectations. I'm with you. 8-8, third place. By the way, they did go 0-4 against Pittsburgh and Baltimore last year.
Yep.
And they lost to Houston a couple times. They did not beat a playoff team. My eyes scan down here quicker to validate that. They didn't. They beat one winning team, and it was Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, Andy Dalton, I could see a sophomore slump there. I think they're set up. You mentioned the drafting for long-term success. Baltimore's getting old. Pittsburgh's getting old. So Cincinnati's in the right direction, but not this year.
Yep, it's not 1999, and they're not Triple H with my time.
Oh yeah, so there we go.
But moving on up in the division here. Now I've got Baltimore winning it at 10-6. Pittsburgh making it as a wild card at 9-7. It's interesting you have the two spots juxtaposed, and no wild card for Baltimore in second place.
No, I actually will go 8-8 with Baltimore.
Okay.
You know, I actually think if I'm going to be wrong on Pittsburgh winning this division, it will be Cincinnati more likely to win it than Baltimore. I'm down on Baltimore this year. I'll be really honest with you. You know, we talked about, you know, Miami maybe was a recommended play for you going under the Vegas win total.
Okay.
Baltimore definitely is for me going under 10. I've got them 8-8.
Okay.
They've made the playoffs all 4 years with Flacco's QB, Harbaugh's coach. A tip of the cap certainly goes there. But you know what's going to cost Baltimore this year?
What?
Not that offense that always draws such criticism. I think Joe Flacco's fine. I've defended him in the past on this program. Mm-hmm. Ray Rice is certainly a stud. Anyone who plays fantasy football knows that. I think they're a stronger receiver. I think the defense falls off this year. I think that's the one shoe that everyone's kind of been waiting to fall.
Yeah.
Lewis and Reed are certainly a day older, step slower. They lose Chuck Pagano as the coordinator, remember.
Right.
Now, they've lost coordinators in the past and been fine. I just see the Ravens. It's tough to make the playoffs 5 straight years. And I did mention that I always like to pick against division champions when I can.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't seem like they'll win the division this year. I've got them at 8-8, and I've got the Steelers, by process of elimination, as the only playoff team out of this group at 10-6. Such a model of consistency. Tomlin stepped into a great situation in a sense. A much stronger passing team now with Roethlisberger chucking the ball all over the yard. That's their forte. Haley grinding his teeth doing that in Arizona. So I got the Steelers 10-6 winning that division.
Because I am one of these people that's thinking there's going to be a little too much friction with a very strong-willed Todd Haley in there. Certainly adding a different element than what they're
used to. He's not in charge, though. Another guy, Peter Principle, bad head coach, good coordinator.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard the internals on this. How much deference is he getting to run his side of the ball from Tomlin?
I don't know.
The more rope Tomlin gives him, the more contentious it could be with Ben.
Yeah, well, I think with Roethlisberger, but I think that hopefully he doesn't want to come in and repaint the painting. He's got a good piece of artwork already. The Steelers' offense, I'm telling you, Roethlisberger shucking the ball over the yard, and the defense is great. Too. I mean, you can't doubt, but there's no denying it. The Steelers don't have a lot of holes.
You can still pass on them a little bit. They've never really gone for the lockdown guys out there.
True, but a lot of times they're winning. Again, winning, and, teams are throwing on them late. But
right. Spreading them out does seem to be, I mean, it's counterintuitive, but spreading them out does seem to be the best way to
win. They did that to them in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and that's how they beat them.
Well, and the funny thing is, going into that game, I almost didn't pick Green Bay. Because I said, and watching the game, as partisan as I was for the Packers, I was like, oh my God, this is my worst fears are going to pass. I said before the game, Mike McCarthy won't do that because he'll be like, ooh, don't want to get 49 points in only 15 minutes. That could come back to bite us. You know, coaches are scared sometimes.
Yeah.
Coaches are scared to grab you by the neck and suffocate you.
Yeah.
And with the Steelers, I mean, it doesn't feel the right way. It feels like you should have to try and beat them in the trenches, whatever.
You spread them out, I think you negate some of the strengths that they have there. But having said it, I'm taking them 9-7 as a wild card, basically by default. Like, somebody's got to get it in the AFC. It's the same thing as what we were saying before. The AFC has a dearth of playoff quality teams. The NFC has a surplus of them. If we were just going the best 12 teams in the league, it might be something like 8-4 NFC.
Well, I think I did it, and it was like 9-3.
Maybe 9-3.
Yeah, yeah. I only have three teams. Listen to this. I have three teams in the AFC winning 10 games. New England, Pittsburgh, and then one we'll get to a little bit later on.
Same as with me. Yeah, that's all I have.
We're agreeing a lot on this program, but... by the way, Vegas win totals here. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, both 10.
Okay.
I got the Steelers matching. Baltimore going under.
So I got Pittsburgh going under.
And the Bengals are an 8.
Really?
Yeah,
okay,
Bengals
so
that surprises me. I thought there'd be – and you know what really surprises me is the money's coming in on the under there.
Well,
the
Bengals are also lower in the NFL power rankings on NFL.com than I thought they would be. The funny thing is, Kyle, what we're saying about the Bengals –
I thought they'd be an 8.5 or 9.
Yeah, what we're saying about them, in a certain sense, feels subversive because they were a playoff team last year. But here's the thing. We're reflective, I think, of what everybody else thinks, which is that it was a fluke and they're going to recede a little bit. That's funny because I thought we were going more against the grain. We are exactly even with the grain.
Yeah, I mean, look at some of these teams they beat. I have their schedule up. So,
okay.
They beat Cleveland twice. They beat Buffalo. I think Buffalo, that was a hangover game. That was the week after New England.
That's right.
I think it was, and they won by a field goal. Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Seattle, Tennessee, St. Louis, Arizona.
Ultimately, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, you can only play the teams that they put in front of you. They did. They did what Browns fan did. You know, the dog pound was barking. Hey, they took advantage of a weak schedule to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just teams that do that just seem to be kind of that one-year wonder. So, I don't feel good about the North.
No.
But, like I said, I think every team's worse than they were last year.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.